How's everybody doing?
Great.
You're good?
Yeah.
You take that one. Got too many mics going on here. I just pray God would encourage you through the testimonies. Thank you. We had testimonies at our life group just when we ended, at the end of the year, and just some of the amazing stories. And I wish we could record them because you guys, some of you, I've heard them, and then you come in front of the church, and I'm like, oh, man, I wish they would have said that and that and that and that. But it's good to hear the testimony. You know, Jonas, when I think of your testimony, you made it very light this morning, but I can remember when we were meeting with you guys and talking, and you made that decision to stay based on you felt God was, that was your only basis. And we've done decisions like that in our life, too, and your guys at work are saying, well, your job's finished, then that's it. And to hear now at the end of the year, you know, permanent and settled and new baby and just God's faithfulness in our lives. So if you're in a place this morning looking back at this year and you're thinking, man, it's been a bit tough. There's not been a lot of, like, real strong breakthroughs. I'm encouraging you that we're heading into a good year, a new year. You know, I want to start there. I'm going to look at Ephesians in a minute, but just before we go there, let me just say, I know God's not stuck in the middle of dates and new years and old years like we are. He does have seasons, but we are in these calendar years, and when you get to the end of a year and you're looking at a new year coming, it does matter for us. It does mean something to us to take a bit of time and to look back and to reflect and to think about the things that were good, the things that were tough, what we could learn from it, where we want to go in the new year. And so I just wanted to mention about five quick things before we look at the scripture of Ephesians chapter 5, if you want to just get prepared to go there. But I kind of called this whole session a spiritual update. You know, you update your computer to fix the bugs. And I think God wants to do a little bit of updating in our spiritual life. If you forget everything else I'm going to say this morning, I just really believe God wants us to be intentional with our spiritual life and serious about it and hungry for more and desiring. And the words that were shared this morning are along those lines, that God is working in our life. He wants to remove fences. He wants to wake us up. That was one of the words in the prayer meeting this morning. And stir us again. So as we look at a new year, just let me say this. It's time to take stock, time to look back and to look forward. But I would like to challenge you this morning to redefine your purpose. Are we still in line with our purpose? What's our purpose, personally, but also as a church? Redefine priorities. You know, are we only doing the urgent, or are we doing the important? You know, you get caught up in the things that just demand your time, the urgent, must get done, but you miss the important. Are we doing what is important? We need to redefine our life's vision. I remember I used to be much better at writing down what I felt. Maybe you need a 5-year plan, maybe a 20-year plan, maybe a 1-year plan. Some of you, and I could share some of your testimonies, you're very good at taking time and going away and kind of looking at the year and laying it out and saying, okay, these are the things, these are the priorities, these are the things we want to get done, what we need to fix, what we need to work on, whatever. And I would just challenge you to do that as we end this year and as we look at a new year. What are some worthwhile goals? What are you wasting your time on? Don't be afraid to say, I was way off here. I'm going to emphasize and go look at some other things. And the last one in this rant of mine right now is to bury the past. You know, if things, as we go into the future and into a new year, there's stuff that you should probably leave in 2019. Don't take it into a new year. And don't spend your time looking back at it. Leave it there. And learn from it and thank God for the, you know, the challenges and whatever it was. But as you go into a new year, go in with faith looking forward, not backwards. And trust Him for a good year. And at the end of the year, you know, I remember Pam's sharing, and I went and listened to the tape, and we didn't get all of, or the, there isn't even such a thing as tapes anymore, but whatever, the MP3, the recordings, whatever. You know what I mean. Forgive my generation. We still believe in tapes. But listening to that back on the 30th, the Sunday last year was the 30th, and what I remember from what, I don't remember all that we prayed for you, Pam, or shared, but what I remember, because it was on the recording, was if God can move stars and planets, align them in place to get wise men and to make things happen in that way, if he can cause the whole entire world, the leader of the then known world, to call for a census, to rearrange everything, don't you think God can organize our lives? Don't you think we can trust God with our lives? And I, if we look back at this year, we have to say, God organized lives. I thank God for these testimonies today. It's not by accident that we were, my brother says he's going to meet with a guy that works with First Nations, and you know, it's been on our heart, and I said, man, I'd like to connect with that guy. And that's Dan, who's visited the church, and this whole long process, how God puts things together, or Pam, or Jonas, or whoever the testimony is this morning. God is arranging planets so that he can prove to us and show us that he's good. He has a plan for our life. And so as we go into the new year, let's go in with faith. I said it was the last one, but here's another one. Are you thinking too much about the here and now and not enough about eternity? As you go into a new year, it's good to have the big picture, the big focus of eternity, and then plan our year. Then look at what matters and what our priorities and our purposes and visions and goals and those things are. Just keep it kind of the big picture out there in front. Amen? So that's for free. I want to talk to you this morning because it comes down to, this is the last one of that introduction, is redeem the time. And that's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14 to 18. And you can put that up there. And before we necessarily read it, here's the story I want you to get this morning. I want you to have a mental picture in your mind. I want you to never forget this sermon for as long as you live. Hallelujah. Ha. About 12:30 today, you'll already have forgotten it, but that's okay. I'll remind you. But before we read this verse, because I've been reading through it and planning longer than you, so trust me this morning. But it's a picture of a guy being woken up in bed. He says, you know, you can see it up there, but I'm going to go back and go through it. But it's like, wake up, arise, come alive, let Jesus shine on you, turn on the lights, walk away from your bed, live this life carefully, not foolishly, you know, wisely, redeeming the time because the days are evil, and be filled with the Spirit. That's basically what that verse is saying. So it's a picture of a guy saying, get out of bed, wake up, and live life. And the example in my mind, in my heart that comes to me is, I don't know how you used to get woken up by your parents, but my dad has a loud voice, and he would scare the bejeebies out of us, if I'm allowed to say bejeebies. But he would come to the top of the stairs, and we had three bedrooms downstairs, and this was when most of the older kids already moved away, and I don't know, I was 14 or 15. You know, 14 and 15-year-olds who can sleep all day? That is such a gift. Someday, you just pray for that gift. When you're a kid, little kid, your parents are hoping you'll sleep and you don't. And then you get old like me and you wish you could sleep and you don't. You could sleep. 4 o'clock, I'm laying there thinking about you guys, praying for you. I'm saying, Lord, hope somebody else is awake this time of day. But 14, 15-year-olds, 2 in the afternoon, you got to wake them up. It's like, it's crazy. They have that gift of sleeping. But he would, and we had chores and had to get up and feed the cows and do the whole schmear before the school bus came. And it's pitch black. And just, you know, Alberta, black till 9 o'clock. But he would come to the top of the stairs. And in my room, you could look down the stairs. If he came partway down, you could look down the rest of the stairs and into the bedroom where I slept. So he would come the first couple times quite nicely. Hey, get up, you guys. Time to wake up. And we'd have to groan or we'd have to do something to acknowledge that we heard him. But then, about the third time, he would come down far enough where he could look in. He says, I want to see your feet on the floor. And usually by this time, he's loud enough that he's really scared Linda because she's awake. But when he would be, hey, you know, it's like, And he would want to see our feet on the my feet on the floor. So I got very good at just hanging them off the bed and laying over here with my feet. That's all he could see. And then he would leave me alone again. And we'd have a couple of times like that. But if you pushed it too far, you knew you went too far. You know what I mean? How many have fathers like that? Yeah. They're good fathers. But that's what this verse is doing. This is what this verse is. It's a wake-up call. It's a get out of bed and come alive message. And so if we go through it, and then I want to go, I only have two scriptures this morning, but I'm going to spend time on this one, and then we're going to go to Galatians in a minute. Don't go there yet, Mr. Sound Man. And just challenge us to wake up and to come alive to the things of God. So let's look at Ephesians. Let's just read through it quickly. These few verses. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. That's the translation you have. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. Therefore, be not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. We've read those verses so many times. I believe you have as much as me. We read that verse. I have it memorized. You can quote it probably. But let me say it this way. First of all, wake up. That's my dad at the top of the stairs. And I don't want to shout at you this morning, but I want to see your feet on the ground. This is the last call. This is it. You know, it's time to wake up. Wake up. I could say it many, many times, but, you know, here's the deal. Too many people are sleeping through life. They're sleepwalking. They're numbed down. They're asleep. And I know I could go to the spiritual side. He says we are dead in our trespasses and sins, and we come alive. That's one version of it. But I'm talking to you and I. As Paul writing to the Ephesians, he's saying, that's why, you know, come into the light, walk in the light. All these last chapters of Ephesians are practical Christian living. If you remember, we went through the book of Ephesians. Of course, you remember everything we preached, right? But the first chapters of Ephesians are theological, talking about Jesus saving us, calling us. We are adopted. All those amazing truths, scriptural truths, theological truths, in the first chapters of Ephesians. But then as you get into the second half of the book, he starts talking about how we should then live, walk circumspectly, live carefully, you know. And you can go through the book of Ephesians again, and he's been challenging them, us, believers, and he gets to this verse and he says, wake up! Wake up! Stop slumbering, stop staggering, stop sleeping, stop being numb, and come alive! And that's the challenge I'm praying God would stir in my heart and your heart today, that you do not just enter a new year like you did last year. We've already heard the words here this morning, the vision of Helmut and the prayer in the prayer room. God is speaking to us. He's saying, wake up. Wake up. Don't just stagger through life. Don't just go through the motions. Come alive. The second word he says, arise. So you wake up, that's my dad shouting, but arise is me putting my feet on the ground. It's self-initiated. It's something we do. We are challenged to wake up, but now we must arise. We must get up. The verse in this translation, arise from the dead. We must then do something. Nothing's going to change in 2020 unless you do it, unless you make the steps, unless you make the effort. And I was listening to that sermon from the 30th last year, and I was challenging people to do the 30-day shred, and many of us did it, and it was amazing. And I'm challenging you again, whatever Bible reading plan you've got, whatever prayer plan you've got, whatever you want to do different, what you need to forgive, what you need to leave in the last year, what you need to believe God for and step into, do it. Make a plan and act on. Arise! So not only wake up, but arise. Get out of your bed. Put your feet on the floor. Do something. Make something happen. Then he says, let Christ shine on you. Let him show you what's wrong. It's kind of like, okay, now we got our feet on the floor. Let's get the lights on. Let Jesus shine on you. Let him show you what's wrong in your life and my life. The light shines and exposes, and he will expose, and he'll show us weaknesses, and he'll show us poor choices and bad friends and poor financial choices and whatever. And he says, come into the light. Come out of the sleep and into the day. And then he says, be careful how you live or walk. And to me, this is then the guy's finally come awake. He's finally got his feet on the ground. The lights are on. And now he's starting to walk. And be careful how you walk. Careful how you live. Make some good choices. Make some good plans for your life. And some of the things that I've already talked about. What it's speaking about, and again, I could preach all of these, and I don't want to. It's talking about lifestyle. I'm going back to my very first point, and what I said this morning is that if you forget everything else I say, God is calling us to be intentional with our spiritual lives. Not just asleep, not just dozy, not just half-baked, but alert, in the daylight, with the lights on, careful how we live our life, careful what our lifestyle is about, not just sloppy. You can judge me all you want. When we got saved, you know, my son is in Bible school now, and I have to laugh that at the Bible school graduation, they give away gifts, not the graduation, but the Christmas program, they gave away gifts, and some of them were for food, and some were for movie tickets and whatever, and I had to laugh, because when we went to Bible college, you had to sign a paper, you'd never go to a movie again. That's how slippery the slope is. No. But you can judge me all you want, but when I stay away from a lifestyle that I know isn't pleasing to God, I feel more alive in God. I feel more alert. I feel like I hear God more. I feel like I'm alive to the things of God. And what I'm trying to say is it's intentional. And I don't want to put legalism on you. I don't want to put a bunch of rules on you, because that's definitely not what this is about. But when you make some choices in your life and you make some lifestyle decisions that take you closer to God, you know it. And you know when you don't. And he's saying, be careful how you live. He says, be wise, the next word in the verse. Wisdom is applied knowledge. And we could talk about wisdom all morning. Understanding is comprehension. Wisdom is application. He doesn't say, arise with knowledge. There's too much knowledge around. There's enough of it, but not enough wisdom. He says, arise, be wise, be wise, be understanding. It's the application of good things into your life. Practical life. You know, I know none of your children are like this, but I as a child and some of my children in the past, they thought they knew a lot. They still think they know a lot. I still think I know a lot. But actually, knowledge isn't really our problem. Our problem is wisdom. Our problem is then how to apply that. You know, kids love cheeky answers, and I got a whole stack of them from my grandchildren now. But I won't trouble you with them. But it's like, you know, you little punk. You don't know anything yet. We need wisdom. We need life application. We need to be able to apply this stuff. Knowledge is doubling and tripling in the world, as you know. It's not helping a lot. What we need is wisdom. And then he comes to this important one. He says, redeem the time. Buy back the time. Be careful with the time. What does it say in this translation? Do not be foolish. No. Make the best use of your time. That's the older version say, redeem the time. Make the most of your time is what it means. Be careful with your time. And I would ask you this morning, how are you doing with your time? Are you to redeem? It means to buy it back. It means to own it again, to take it back, and to make the most out of it. to say, okay, this year coming, I'm going to make the most out of it. I'm not, you know, I did some good things last year. Last year there's some stuff, oh man, I wish I would have changed or whatever. This year, I'm going to make the most out of it. It simply means you don't have a long time to live. I think it was Miles Monroe preaching, and he's been dead for some years, but I think it was him. He said, you should start at death and then back up from there. And then be careful how you live with that picture in mind. So we're over here at death, whatever age that is. Thank God there's room in heaven for it. Yeah? And then you back up from there and you say, okay, knowing that, how am I going to live 2020? How am I going to live that out? And I quoted a comedian, I don't even like the guy, but Woody Allen, he's a terrible comedian, but he's the one that had the story. He says, in my next life, I want to live my life backwards. You start out dead and get that out of the way. Then you wake up in the old folks' home feeling better every day. You get kicked out for being too healthy. You go collect your pension. And then when you start work, you get a gold watch and a party on your first day. Then you work for 40 years until you're young enough to enjoy your retirement. I like that. That's what he's saying. Have this picture of what you want the end of your life to look like. What heaven might mean. And then back up from there and say, okay, this is how I'm going to live. And I love hearing about four-year-olds who say, Jesus is in my heart. Because thank God he saves us for eternity. But he saves us for our whole life. Man, our time is, redeem the time, Leonard. You guys and your testimonies took all my time. Come on, be honest. Work with me here. Live sensibly is what he means. We keep saying to ourselves, someday, someday, someday. Quit saying that. I like this point. This is what Miles Monroe had said. He said, God works with desires and decisions. Says he will give us the desires of our hearts. Casual faith does not attract the power of God in our lives. Desires means passionate, committed, dedicated, willing to pay a price. Not what we are interested in. It's not a casual faith. God needs something to work with, and we need to give him not a casual faith, but a passion and a desire and a thing that we want to see happen and what we're believing for, what we've written down. That's why I started out saying, you know, write down some things. We used to fill in brochures and what we're trusting God for and look back a year later and say, man, it's amazing. It's amazing to see what God did in my life. And it's not that kind of prayer where you kind of say amen, you open your eyes, well, it's kind of what I expected anyhow, nothing. You know, the mountain's still there. We give God faith. We give God passion. We give God desire, what we believe for him to do. And he says, don't be foolish. I got to end this verse because I want to get to the next one. But don't be foolish. Have knowledge. What it means to be foolish is to have knowledge, but you don't apply it. Knowledge is not the problem. Fools can have a lot of knowledge. It's like the guy said, a smoking doctor. You know, a doctor who smokes. Fools can have a lot of knowledge. It doesn't help them. He says, don't be foolish. Don't not apply what you know. Don't stay that place where you know it, but you're just not willing to change. You're not willing to put into practice what you know. You know, the smoking doctor who will tell you it's unhealthy, but he'll keep smoking. And he says, understand the will of God. I got to move this thing. Understand the will of God. Basically, what he's saying is that every life choice, every decision we make should be based on the will of God. Know the will of God for your life. Understand the will of God. Stop wasting your time. Let the will of God dictate your schedule. Let the will of God dictate your friends. Choose company based on your destiny. Haha, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. That thing. We need to know his will and make decisions around that. And lastly, he said, do not be drunk with wine. Say amen. It is subtle, blurs your focus, destroys your time, robs you of time. So we need to redeem the time. We need to buy it back. We need to take control back of our time. Colossians says it this way, 4 verse 5. I don't have it up there, but walk with the unsaved wisely. Make the best use of every opportunity. Simply, that. Let's look at the second verse quickly. He says, well, at the end of that verse, he said, be filled with the Spirit. And that leads to this chapter. And I've tried to put in the traditional translation, because this is the MSG version, the Message Bible. And I put in big letters, the more traditional joy, peace, you know, love, joy, peace, those are the fruits of the Spirit. So the verse is about the fruit of the Spirit. So once you've woken up and you started walking properly and not foolishly and wisely, he says, then be filled with the Spirit, be led of the Spirit. And I like the way this translation put it, so I'll see how much time we spend on it. But he says, but what happens when we live God's way? So here's the point. When we make intentional decisions to live God's way, we come alive, we're born again, the Spirit of God is in us, we arise, we self-initiate, we get involved in the things of God, we start walking properly, we start living a life that's of God, then we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And he says, then be filled with the Spirit, be controlled of the Spirit. And this is what a Spirit-controlled life looks like. He says, but what happens when we live God's ways? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, which is love. Exuberance about life, joy. I like the wording of that. Exuberance about life. Serenity, peace. We develop a willingness to stick to things. Patience. A sense of compassion in our heart. Kindness. And a conviction that basic holiness permeates things and people, which is goodness. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, faithfulness, and not needing to force our way in life, gentleness, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely, self-control. And then he says this, legalism is helpless in bringing this about. It only gets in the way. In verse 24, among those who belong to Christ, everything connected with getting our own way and mindlessly responding to what everyone else calls necessities is killed off for good, crucified. Since this is the kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implications in every detail of our lives. That means we will not compare ourselves with each other as if one of us were better than another. We have far more interesting things to do with our lives. Each of us is an original. Amen? That's what the Spirit of God will do in our lives. So if we will walk this walk, if we will allow Him to come and fill our lives, this is the fruit. And so what it means is that when we get intentional with God, like with anything, I don't care if it's exercise or eating or whatever it is you're involved in, when you get intentional and you make some changes, you see fruit. You see change. There's fruit from it. There must be. The scripture is describing the fruit that begins to appear in our lives when we become intentional in seeking God. Intentional. When we go on a quest to build our spiritual lives or our muscles, we should begin to see noticeable changes. Amen? A new awareness of spiritual dimension. I'm just going to blast through. We pray differently. Instead of begging God for things, we begin to act more like sons and daughters. Amen? I preached at the Pearl Church last week, and it was James, the last part of James, and he says, you know, if you're sick, ask the elders to come. They'll pray. The prayer of faith is powerful and changes things. And the example I used was simply, you know, if somebody, you don't have any relationship with them, they come to you and they say, hey, you got any money? Or could you do something for me? It's offensive. You know, I shared some of the phone calls I get as a pastor of a church. You know, some of them I should record. They don't even say, hello, any chance of getting some money and some gas? No. Okay, cool. Like, when you have no connection, there's no anything, not even hello, it's offensive when people share their needs. But when there's a relationship, when there's a connection, and we hear of someone's pain of miscarriage or someone's joy of a new birth, or then there's you feel honored that you were included in their life. You feel honored when they come and share their deepest challenge. It's because there's a relationship, and the difference is relationship. And God is looking for that with us, that when we are intentional in our walk with God, there's a relationship there. Our prayer life changes. We see answers to prayer. He changes us. You know, answered prayer is not just we got what we wanted. Prayer is us communicating with God and Him communicating with us. And there's this relationship, and He knows, and there's a trust between us. Amen? We're able to take more risks. Sin makes cowards of us all. But when we are intentional with God, we are able to take more risks. We're able to do greater exploits. We become more excited about God's divine plans and appointments with people who come across their life. When you're intentional with God and there's a sense of the Spirit of God's leading in your life, people you meet are an opportunity. You know, sometimes I need to tell my face that. Josh, you're an opportunity. It's true. When the Spirit of God is working in our lives and you have a sense of, I'm being led by God today, God knows what's best in my life, I'm spiritual, there's a spiritual dimension in my life, I'm hearing the Spirit of God. When I meet Russell, Jonas, Dan, Tim, whoever, there's a sense of, there's a reason for this. There's something good can come out of this. Even if we're talking about stuff, there's a purpose in our lives. We are more available to God. God can use us more and seems to be more involved in, we seem to be more involved in God things. It doesn't just, it's never a surprise. You know, God can do anything. God can break into a sinner's life like He did it to all of us and change us and we are born again from above. But then he says, come, wake up. Get your feet on the ground. Start walking. Don't be fooled. Be wise. Be filled with the Spirit. Do the will of God. Come on. This life is worth it. When you do that, you start seeing life different. Your connections are different. Your prayers are different. Your relationships are different. And we have a new peace and contentment. Okay, I got to end. I'll take one more drink of water for this final run at the runway. Hallelujah. Are you still there? Good. Yes. That's good. Time to go. So what do you say about this? What can we say practically at the end? I don't know. Pray together in bed. This is what Lori and I came up with. Pray in the morning. This is if you're married. Before you get up, before you go to sleep. Be intentional. Read your Bible. Do the 30-day shred again. I'm wrestling with it. Lori and I have been talking about it because I know the commitment. I read every day at 5 till 7, every day for a month, and you can read the whole entire Bible. And it's amazing. I saw stuff in the Bible. I've read through the Bible many times. Just reading it through like a novel, just going, 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 going. It's like, wow, it's an amazing story. I've heard people criticize the 30-day shred, and all I'd say is it's because they haven't done it. Simple. Do it. Have a mentor in your life. Be intentional. You know, stuff has to change from last year. So what are you going to do? You're going to pray? You're going to read? You're going to get closer? You're going to do something? Get a mentor. Meet weekly. Meet monthly. Talk to somebody. Talk about your life. Talk about your finances. Talk about your sex life. Talk about money. Talk about something. Change some things. Allow God to use that opportunity to change us. Get in shape. Let me just pull my stomach in there a little bit. Lose some weight. Change the way you eat. You know, this seems like crazy, but other than, you know, I could say many things other than getting saved, getting married, having, you know, there's all the big things in life. But one of the most important things in the last few years of my life was changing the way we eat, changing diet. If you haven't understood the terribleness of just a simple thing like sugar and what it does to people's lives, come and talk to us. But change something. Make a decision. Get in shape. Get involved. I got a whole list here. Push in with church. Could I have the musicians come? We're just going to end It's always good to end with some music, but push in with church and with leaders. Be intentional with your spiritual life. Join a life group. Join a ministry. Stretch yourself. Grow, change, practice generosity. Do something. Be intentional about my spiritual life. My prayer, seriously, for myself, for this church, for us, is that we would wake up, that we would arise, that we would let Christ shine on us. Let him shine his light into our lives, into us, into our corporate worship, into our corporateness coming together, but into our individual lives. Let him shine into your life. Let him change things in your life that he wants to change. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Make a melody in your heart. You know, there's that aspect of Christian life that we have to do. Self-initiated. I'll say it again. If anything's going to change in the next year, it's because we make a commitment to do it. Would you just stand with me this morning? I'd like to pray. Father, I thank you for this church and for the opportunity to be together today. And as I have that picture of my father waking me up morning after morning, so many mornings in my life, to get up and to do my chores and to get on with life, I pray this morning that that picture would grip us today of you calling to us to put our feet on the ground, that as we walk away from our beds, we'll live carefully, we'll walk carefully. We will be wise, we will be very wise. We'll apply the things that you speak to us. We'll not just as though it's just an idea in our heads. We will allow your Holy Spirit to come and bear fruit in our lives. And Holy Spirit, I pray this morning that you would just come. And this new year, as we look to 2020, we look forward to the good things of God. I pray, Father, that you would bring things into focus for us. That we would make some changes, whatever it is that you're calling us to do, whether it's financial, personal, spiritual. There would just be a new download, a new upgrade. Fix some of the bugs in our life today. I pray for each one of us for a greater, greater desire and a passion and a hunger for you and a hunger for the things of God. I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.